Hello friends and welcome to the latest episode of the Kings of Anglia podcast, brought to you in association with johnbanks.co.uk. It's the big one, boys. It's Derby Day. It's coming on Sunday and we're going to talk about it a lot right now.
Derby Day. Boom.
I can see you're excited.
Da-da-da-da. Who will get the bragging rights? Will it be Ipswich? It hasn't been for 10 years, but will it be this time?
Probably not.
That's what we're going to discuss now. The voices you just heard were, of course, my erstwhile colleagues, Stuart Watson.
Hello.
And Andy Hutch, Alfred Hutchcock Warren.
Hello.
We're bringing extra energy today because your feedback for our effort without you was...
We sounded bored. I was going to get into this, boys. You know, I did listen to it, obviously, because I listen to every podcast. Do you listen to a podcast, first of all, after you've done it?
Sometimes.
You should listen to it all, because obviously that's how you get better. You read your stories back, don't you? You should listen to podcasts back. I listened to it. My first impression was you sounded really bored. I hate to say. It sounded like you didn't really...
Stu and I spend too much time together.
Yeah. What it reminded me of, and you did discuss this, is that you actually spend more time together than you do with your wives.
Yeah.
And that's what it reminded me of. A kind of married couple who've been together too long and the spark had gone.
We're sitting in bed reading books with our reading glasses on.
Sleeping back to back when we ultimately go to sleep.
Exactly. And it made me realise that's what I am to this podcast. I'm the I'm the role play, the PVC, the handcuffs.
Well, we've just met you in the pub and invited you.
I'm the spark, baby. That's what I am. Okay. You're the knowledge.
You're the
knowledge and the facts.
You're Winston that we've just met down the pub. And I'm
the frippery.
Who's sending who over to start talking with Mark?
I think we found you on the... let's say we found him on the internet.
Andrew, yeah. Go and speak to Winston over there and see if...
That's what it is. That's what I am. I'm not good for football knowledge. Yeah. I'm just good for spicing things up.
Excellent.
An injection of something new.
Absolutely.
Which we all feel guilty about afterwards. But it's fine.
But it does the job.
Three days later, Andy bursts into tears.
I also want to take you up. You came up with an idea for a film.
Right. Yeah.
Running Man.
Running Man. We talked only two podcasts ago about a film called The Running Man, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, so that's already out there.
Never seen it.
And the plot was basically Speed with a football.
Yeah, so apparently it's been done multiple times. So,
all the films have been done, though. Like, are there any films
left?
That's
why they keep remaking them all, isn't it?
Just do Ghostbusters 7 and be done with it.
Exactly.
Starring Freddie Sears.
I've watched that. Did you watch that?
Yeah. Who would be your town players as Ghostbusters?
That's a good question. Who would be the most effective Ghostbuster? Bartos?
I think Bart would be quite a good Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
I don't know who else.
We'll think about it.
We'll come back to you on this.
The films have been done anyway.
So obviously...
Mick McCarthy's the ghost.
Absolutely, of Christmas Past. So obviously this week, build-up week, you both had a bit of time off, but now you're well back into it.
Yep.
The Derby Day is looming once again. How are we feeling, first of all, as we head to Norwich, or you head to Norwich on Sunday?
How are we feeling?
I'm intrigued.
Good.
I think this is going to be a unique experience for everybody. I think we know what the Derby is, but this is different. The result might not be different. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But everything around it, the Lambert factor... It's interesting. One of those things that you'll remember witnessing, I think.
Mm. Stewie, how are you feeling?
Worried, nervous, fearing the worst, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. I hate to be pessimistic here, but I think it's probably what most Town fans are thinking, isn't it?
On paper, if you look at the facts and the stats that are up to this game, Town are going to get thumped. They're going to get marmalised, aren't they?
Do you know, the thumped as in... I don't know if they'll get thumped by a big scoreline, but I just think they'll get schooled. And that's my concern. It will all be horribly comfortable. Yeah, like a cat playing with a half-dead mouse, and it will just all be a little bit embarrassing, for want of a better word. That's my biggest fears going into it.
Mm. My cat did that during the Super Bowl last... No, not the Super Bowl, one of the championship games last year.
Did what?
Toyed with a half-dead mouse.
See, that's part of the reason I don't really like cats.
But the mouse won. It got up and ran out
the
door.
The mouse escaped?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Pathetic cat.
So what you're saying is Ipswich could escape as well.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I've got a video of the cat. The mouse
jumped what? And punched the, looked like he got headbutted my cat.
Why nice. Is this not on social media?
It is
somewhere?
On social media.
Oh, is it? Fantastic. Well, this hopefully that'll be the metaphor for this game. As I say, on paper, it looks like Town are just going to get destroyed, I love the word eviscerated, by the way. Town are going to get eviscerated. But then I was in Norwich on, what day are we? Wednesday, Thursday, yesterday. and they're all Norwich fans over there, and our sister paper, the Eastern Daily Press, I mean, they are literally all Norwich fans.
Mm.
And there's as well as the kind of smugness and that you'd expect, there's also a bit of concern.
Yeah.
Because
they've got nothing to gain,
exactly,
they?
Exactly.
Apart from promotion.
Yeah, but they can't do that tomorrow.
But no, there's a kind of feeling that it would be typical if Town win this on Sunday. Sort
I
of
think
thing.
Every football fan always fears the worst, like, oh, all good things come to an end at some point. And, you know, I think the Lambert factor has put that in the back of people's minds, that wouldn't it be typical that Lambert would be the manager that finally ends the curse sort of thing. The Lambert thing's fascinating, isn't it? I thought his press conference yesterday, as much as he tried to shut down the Norwich chat, and there was a few Keane-esque death stares at reporters throughout that, you were told not to ask about Norwich. You know, that was his game plan going into it, but we've got to know him a little bit over the last few months, and trust me, he wants to win this game. That's all I'll say. You know, there was some vague... some vague comments about, I know my feeling deep down, I'll keep my cards close to my chest, only my staff will know how I feel. He's up for this.
Yeah.
He's up for this.
If you've not watched that, do go and watch it on our website, because it was an interesting press conference. As Stewie says there, there was some death stares administered to folks from Norwich.
Old friends of
old
his.
Old friends from Norwich. And yeah, he wasn't at all happy. He was very forceful in not wanting to talk about Norwich, and also the fact that they're going there to win at Carrow Road. Should also note before we move on that our friends in Norwich at Eastern Daily Press have a 16-page supplement already to go for Tuesday about the decade of domination of derbies. So wouldn't it be a shame if that got scrapped with a Town win on Sunday?
Yeah. Would we then have to do a 16-page supplement to mark the victory?
No, that would be embarrassing. No, that would be embarrassing.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that sums up the dare I say, the sort of confidence and the smugness north of the border that's grown over time.
Yep.
Can I understand that to an extent? I mean, it's kind of almost, you know, they were so often in the shadow of Ipswich Town that, you know, it's almost now what's happened over the last 10 years, they're really sort of making hay while the sun shone. But I don't know, the current generation of football fans won't ever really remember. We're at a stage now where, you know, I don't remember the 70s and the 80s. It's before my time. So those three stars on the shirt are haven't really shone brightly for some time, have they? And Norwich fans are taking delight in reminding us all about that.
I work both sides of the border, obviously, as I'm very busy and important in my role. And I have to say, I don't know if you agree with this, it always seems to me that Norwich fans are a lot more interested in talking about Ipswich and what Ipswich are doing than Ipswich fans are in return.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Which is an interesting thing, isn't it?
Why is that?
I don't know. Is it because it's the history
thing, and you're never going to really, ultimately, whatever happens, you're never going to win the history argument, are you? Because, you know, the three stars are there for a reason. We're champions of England, champions of Europe, FA Cup. That cannot be taken away from Ipswich. Whatever happens, that's there. And Norwich, realistically, are never, ever going to match that. So I guess there's always that feeling that you're never going to win that argument. And maybe there's that little chip on the shoulder because of that. I don't know. But
but they did beat Bayern Munich in the UEFA Cup, though.
Participants.
What round was that? Was that the final? It wasn't, was it? No.
Second.
It's hard for us not to get... like, people have been asking us about... do you get swept up in the emotion of this and all of that? You know, we pride ourselves on being objective journalists sat here, but we're sat in an office in Ipswich. I think that's important to say. There's always this feeling that the Norwich biased media and, you know, we are in Ipswich and we are very much separate, part of the same company, but separate from the guys up there. We watch Ipswich week in, week out. We want them to win. Of course we do.
Every
course
single
we want
game we
to
go
win.
To, we want them to win.
Absolutely, yeah.
I've got a horrible feeling about this game, and because I've seen the Norwich fans running on the pitch and jumping all over the players after the playoff defeat. I've seen, you know, we're going to have to go back to the EDP's office after the game on Sunday and listen to them, you know, if they win again, having to listen to them put together that supplement that you've talked yeah. about. Oh, what is it now? Is it 12 games? Oh, yeah. Well, what's the goal stat? Blah, blah, blah. And me and Andy will be slumped at our desk trying to come up with some inspiration about how to write about this. That, like, that.
There's four floors to that building, Stu.
We'll find somewhere to hide.
I would like to point out, however, the pages are already made up, or at least started, so they're not... They're fairly confident that the result's going to go their way on Sunday. I suggest today to you, only half jokingly, that there's few things I've ever wanted more in life than Ipswich to beat Norwich on Sunday. And we all—it's true, isn't it? All three of us in this room desperately want Ipswich to beat Norwich on Sunday.
Yep.
So fingers crossed that is what's going to happen. Let's get into the meat of the Derby Day preview now. Brought to you with JohnBanks.co.uk. For your next new or used vehicle, visit JohnBanks.co.uk. Let's start, boys, first of all.
Very slick that, mate.
Stu visited John Banks this week.
I did, yeah. I didn't make myself known to them.
Why not?
Shouldn't have to, should I? This should. True. This right here, yeah. I'm circling my finger around my face. That should be enough.
It should be.
As far as I'm concerned. And it wasn't, and I'm disappointed.
You should have a new car with your face on it.
Well, I'm open to suggestions.
Let's make it happen. Boys, let's start first of all. We've just been talking there about how much we all want Town to win. But let's establish first of all our kind of personal links to the game. What are your Derby Day memories, first of all? Not necessarily covering, maybe for you, Stu. But Andy, obviously you grew up as a Town fan. What are your kind of fondest Derby Day memories?
I've only covered one as a journalist. And that was last year's at Carrow Road.
Wow, okay.
So
your memories will mostly be as a fan then?
Yeah, from the 90s, generally.
Good memories.
Yeah. Largely. The biggest one is the 5-0 game. Matthew.
Yeah.
You say Matthew, don't forget little Bobby Petter as well. Those two goals were very, very important. Alex grabs the headlines there, but two good goals from Bobby Petter. There's a Friday night game that Tirico scored in. Ipswich won 2-0 in that one.
Do you reckon that Alex Matthew's a bit concerned that he hasn't heard from us? Because that's literally what we used to do, isn't it? Before every derby, just call Alex Matthew. Yeah, I know, you got a hat trick at half time, had to come off, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So yeah, I hope he's alright somewhere.
Yeah, we've heard I've done enough pre-Norwich content now over the years till we've rung them all up, haven't we? Fab Wilness and Matthew
and Alex is fine. We see him he does the BBC commentary with Brenner at a lot of the more northern outpost away games. He's alright.
We were saying earlier actually Danny Haynes is the one that we've never actually managed to track down.
Yeah,
the Canary Crusher.
We've all tried to hunt him down over the years. I've rung up his former clubs and they've kind of laughed and said, good luck tracking down Danny.
He works on the London Underground now.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that might be true.
Yeah.
We will see.
So what's your favourite memory anyway? So if you had to pick one, Hutchie, what would it be?
Ooh,
the 5-0?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Probably.
Mine would definitely be the Brian Gunn air kick because I loved that. I was at school just down the road in West Suffolk and there was kind of an equal split of Ipswich and Norwich fans and that was just tremendous that day because obviously I was a Derby fan but very much on the side of Ipswich having lived just down the road and the gloating that went on that day after the air kick was fantastic. Stu, what about you?
Probably the Paul Anderson goal in the first leg of the playoffs, you know, that the atmosphere going into that game is, I think, still the best I've heard at Portman Road in the years I've had covering Ipswich. That was tremendous going into that game, and then the roof was raised when Ando scored that goal, and that's been about as good as it's got in the playoffs. The Tommy Smith equaliser in the second leg, but to be honest, the joy that followed that was so short lived, and it all fell apart, unravelled quite quickly after that, didn't it? But there's not been a huge amount to shout about.
That playoff was meant to be a playoff double header for me, because all entangled in that, I was covering Swindon in the League One playoffs. They played Sheffield United over two legs, and so I think there were four or five days where I had both legs of that, and then I also wanted to watch both legs of Ipswich, and it was meant to be like the double Wembley, because Swindon got to the final and lost that. They got battered 4-0. But it's meant to be the back-to-back Wembley days, but didn't happen.
Okay, let's talk about the game itself then. So on Sunday, two sides go to war. Who are the going to be the key men on either side of the ball? What are you saying? Hutchie, start with you. Give me a key man.
Which team do you want?
Whichever you prefer, my friend. Not prefer, whichever you'd like to start with. Should we go Norwich?
Norwich width.
Yeah.
And this brings in four players, two wingers, Buendia, Hernandez, two fullbacks, Aarons and Lewis Ipswich don't deal particularly well with marauding fullbacks, and chuck a couple of decent wingers in the mix there. That would mean the Ipswich Town fullbacks are going to have a very busy afternoon, need some protection from the players in front of them. If you talk about that, then you've got other areas of the pitch. Norwich can play these really quick vertical passes to get the ball into the box so rapidly that there's just dangers everywhere into which look. So that hasn't really answered your question, has it? But
there's a lot of key men. Does that mean then that Miles Kenlock is going to be a key man for Ipswich? Because I'd imagine he's going to start left back. And if you're saying their fullbacks and the width is going to be an issue to contend with, he's going to be under quite a lot of pressure, isn't he?
Yeah, that's an area for me that's a potential area of weakness for Ipswich. Andy's talked about it'll be Aarons bombing on from right back, won't it? And then
Buendia in front of him
on the right, who's tricky little skillful player, and those two up against Kenlock is an area of concern for me. We saw how he got done for the goal last weekend. Needs that help from Freddie probably in front of him. Although we've seen Freddie start on the right and the left in recent weeks, but I think that means that, you know, Freddie's defensive play that we know we always get from him is going to be vital.
How about then, Stu, some key guys for Ipswich Town?
Well, I think if Ipswich are going to have any joy from this game, I think set pieces are massive. And I think in Alan Judge now, they've got someone who can provide a threat from dead balls, which they've lacked for most of the season, probably since Martin Waghorn went. He's really whipped in some good corners and free kicks under the crossbar. And if Norwich have got a weakness, then it's probably the goalkeeper, it's probably Tim Krul, by all accounts. He's looked a little bit flappy at crosses. They don't keep a huge amount of clean sheets, Norwich. So I think set pieces and the high press as well. You know, we've talked about how they commit men forward, the fullbacks bomb forward, they like to play out from the back. Ipswich have got to press high, and they've got to press hard. And I thought when Will Keane came on late last weekend and they had that little bit joy against Sheffield Wednesday, Keane was really charging down the centre-backs and forcing things. So they'd be the two areas that I think Ipswich could get some joy from.
And they've got to take their chances as well. Yeah. Ipswich don't create chance after chance after chance. You've got to take them. We've seen halves come and go, and Ipswich not... They've had 10-minute spells in the half, 20-minute spells even sometimes, and not been able to score the goal to take advantage of it. And they've just got to do it in not just this game, every game.
And how did Town stop the boy Pookie? The boy Pookie, Stewie.
Stewie doesn't like that phrase. He's told me off this morning already for saying that.
That's why I'm saying it.
Look at his little face.
Obviously, Collins and Chambers.
Chewing first, a wasp.
First choice centre-halves. We know if they're going to be fit, because they've got a huge role to play, haven't they?
They have. Ipswich have, you know, said all along they're hopeful. But what is it? Hamstring for Collins.
It's not ideal, is it?
You don't often see those recover in a week.
They both did this in the Villa game. So Chambers hurts his foot. Collins feels his hamstring after the game. They've effectively now had 2 weeks of non-training. They were given the whole week off post-Villa. Started training on the Friday. Pulled up, couldn't finish training. Couldn't play the Sheffield Wednesday game. Now it sounds like they've been given the whole of this week off as well.
Yeah.
And they might... I mean, we're sat here Friday. They've probably trained this morning. And Ipswich probably know now.
Is Chambers still playing with a broken wrist, by the way? Is
he
still
that's not a problem. He's got a slight sports cast on his wrist. Yes, alright. But Lambert says they need to have that call made by Saturday.
That's not my biggest worry. I think clearly Collins was on top form, and I guess going into this game you'd want their voices and their experience, but I thought they defended okay against Sheffield Wednesday last weekend. I thought Nsiala had a pretty good game, one or two lapses aside, which he's prone to. Pennington slotted back in at centre-half, fine. The bigger concern is the lack of a goal threat from Ipswich, despite all of these additions over January. Quayne has been a bit of a disappointment. Didn't really create a lot. It was a bit of a backward step in terms of the performance last weekend, wasn't it?
Where do you reckon then, Sue's already alluded to this, set pieces for Town, the game is going to be won and lost? So if Town are going to win, you're saying set pieces are going to be massive. You're thinking a goal from a corner, a free kick, that kind of thing. What are you saying, Hutchie? Do you think it's going to be? It's not going to be a high-scoring game, is it? For example,
I can't see the fear coming. That I can't see Norwich thumping them. I think, like Stu said earlier, it could be more of a completely dominant 2-0 loss. So, by that logic, if Ipswich can stay in the game like they have done in a lot of games of late, Blackburn, they were in the game on the hour marks, Sheffield Wednesday, they were in that game and in the ascendancy as time went. If Ipswich can stay in the game, Daniel Farke's teams have never really turned it on in these derby games. They've never quite hit the mark. Obviously, they're a very different proposition now. They're top of the league, but in the past, if they can maybe bring a bit of the crowd nerves in, if they can do that, stay in the game to the hour, keep it tight, and think about getting something there, that's how I can see Ipswich winning this game. If you can get the crowd nervous, because if Norwich score early, then I would.
It's a good point. It's a good point because there is actually a lot of pressure on Norwich, isn't there, in terms of going into the game.
If this was any other game other than Ipswich, they'd be going into it thinking, easy, three points, keep on going. They might not be top come this game. They could have dropped as far as third. Ridiculous.
So there
is a lot of pressure on it. Conversely, Ipswich could be 11 points adrift of safety come kickoff, and that's the other thing at play here. It's more than just a derby game, isn't it? It's one of, by this time next, well, give it another week, there'll only be 13 games left, and I think we'll know where Ipswich are heading by the end
of
this week.
If Ipswich lose, there's a collective shrug of the shoulders, and well, we were all expecting that, and most of us are resigned to relegation anyway. And in many ways, would it hurt as much as some of the other defeats? They all hurt, but I think most people are fearing the worst anyway. If Norwich were to drop points, that's going to sting because it's, you know, well, we should be beating them, and we've not followed up on a fantastic result at Leeds. And who are Leeds playing?
I don't know.
That's on Saturday, so they'll, you know.
And Sheffield United can go above them as well. So.
Yeah, so they might, you know, if either of those win, that ramps up the pressure a little bit more going into that one. But I do fear for all of this logic that we're desperately trying to come up with, we're clutching at straws a little bit, and the quality ultimately will.
And I think I worry that all it could take would be for an early goal and. Ipswich haven't shown that they've got enough in them. They've scored once on the road since the start of November, for goodness sake. Like that logic
as well. The away form is dreadful, isn't it?
Yeah. Leeds are at Middlesbrough, Saturday lunchtime, okay. 1 o'clock kickoff. So, tough game for them. Let's talk a little bit about the Lambert factor. That's kind of the most interesting thing for me going into the game that we've not had, obviously, in the previous derby games, is that now the man in charge of the Ipswich Town is one of probably Norwich's most famous ever manager in terms of success.
Hall of Famer,
guided them to two straight promotions, and he's now taking Ipswich back to the places where he destroyed them with Norwich City.
It's mad, isn't it?
It's
absolutely
crazy.
Mad.
It is. I mean, football, bloody hell, and all that sort of stuff. But that is fantastic.
Well, the start of this decade of dominance, inverted commas, which, by the way, has had about four draws in the last five.
Yeah,
but. Again, clutching at straws a little bit here. But that started under Lambert. It was the 4-1 and the 5-1 started that run. Mm-hmm. So everything that Norwich have got, and I know Andy has penned a bit in terms of why Norwich fans should perhaps be respectful of Paul Lambert, is that everything they've got now, they kind of owe to him. He put all the platforms in place that getting them to the Premier League and all the associated riches that come with it. Okay, he bailed on them straight after that mid-table finish, and the grass wasn't greener on the other side at Aston Villa, but Norwich's sort of all the finances that have underpinned everything is all down to Paul Lambert, really. So I don't know if it's going to be super hostile on Sunday. That's what he's expecting. I don't know if it's going to be fairly indifferent. I think it'll almost be a bit sort of mocking of Paul Lambert.
I think so. I think that's what it will be. Because mocking of Paul Lambert and of Ipswich, just the situation the Ipswich are in. I think that, but you know, football, that's what happens at football. That kind of mocking can turn into a bit more in the wrong hands.
I was going to say, I mean, obviously the press conference yesterday, we saw that he didn't want to talk about Norwich. someone asked him, your man from the BBC asked him about whether he still had a soft spot for Norwich, and he did no like that question. So to use your turn of phrase, give us a little insight.
David Brent's turn of phrase.
You've been around Paul Lambert. You know what sort of guy he is. You've had a couple of off the record briefings with him. How much do you reckon this game means to him? How much does he want to win? I mean, obviously he wants to win every game, but
a lot. And I don't think it's just this game either. It's the balance between Ipswich and Norwich means a lot to him. And it's tipped one way. He was a big part of doing that tipping, and he feels passionately about putting a dent in their progress, both long term, short term, and the importance that has. But from an Ipswich perspective, because he knows how important that is to Ipswich.
Mm. I've worked with a few managers now over the years.
Seen them off.
Not as many as some other reporters up and down the land. But I've never known a manager think like a fan as much as Paul Lambert. Mm. I think he still has that devilment in him, that sort of fandom in him that perhaps we lose from being journalists on the inside, that players, that lots of people, once you're in the business, sort of you lose that emotional attachment. But Paul Lambert seems to, that still seems to burn in him. He's almost like the Glaswegian guy that wants to run around kicking people on a football pitch still. And that's and I do think that that's why he has got this genuine affinity with the fans, and he's tried to build that everywhere he's gone, because I think deep down he still thinks like a fan and feels like a fan in many ways.
When he was first appointed, I was speaking to Chris Lakey, my counterpart at EDP, who obviously covered Norwich City as well, and we talked about, wouldn't it be ironic if Lambert was the man to finally get Ipswich and win in the derby. And he said to me, he is like a fire and brimstone style man motivator. He says in that dressing room before the game, he'll have them ready to run through brick walls. He says you will not get a more fired up Ipswich Town team than they will under Paul Lambert come that derby day. And that's what it's going to take, isn't it? It needs, on paper, the two teams are quite unequal. Norwich are clearly a good team, Ipswich not so much. But even a bad team that's rightly motivated and willing to go, as I say, run through walls for the man that leads them, that's how you get results, isn't it, in a game like this?
He's really going to have to amp it up, given the away dressing room has been painted pink to try and sap all of the testosterone out of the Ipswich Town players' bodies.
Yeah, and to be fair, given where Norwich are, it seems to be working this season.
They've dropped some points to some teams that aren't up there in the table.
Their away record's better than their home record. They've lost four games at home. They've only lost one away. That's been the secret of their success. But I don't know. We're talking about, like, oh, we keep it tight towards the end and they might get nervous. How many late goals have Norwich scored? Like, the belief that they've got that no matter how deep that goes into the game, whether it's the memory of the 95th minute equaliser last season and all the times they've done it this year, so that will keep them going. Lambert will have them all fired up to make this a scrap. Have Ipswich got a fighty team at the moment? It's a very young team, it's a very experienced team, it's not got a huge amount of physical type players in there. You're not sending out John Walters and whoever else to go out to war.
And players like that.
You haven't quite got those characters anymore with the greatest will towards the ones that they have got. Flynn Downs might run around and thump into a few tackles if he plays. I worry that he'd be a red card waiting to happen.
So I was going
to
say, it's a danger then, isn't
in
it?
That respect. Scuse's experience, is he a go-to-war leader in that respect? Probably not. Chambers will be fired up, but I don't know. I don't know if this is a go-to-war squad for all of
them. No, you're probably right. So many of them, this will be their first taste of this derby as well, obviously, with all these new signings as well. Footballers get up for big games, but will they see it as any different as another game? I don't know. Matt Pennington's played and scored in a Merseyside derby, though. He knows derbies.
Let's take some mailbag questions, shall we? Derby Day mailbag. Benjamin Ivey on Twitter says, Paul Lambert was quick to dismiss questions about Norwich during his press conference. Ultimately, how do you think he'll be feeling about the potential atmosphere on Sunday? Do you think he's bothered in any way?
Up for it.
Up for it, yeah.
Certainly not bothered or nervous.
Yeah.
Matt, we've got to talk about Matt Gill as well, who was coaching, like heading up Norwich's youth operation not 6 months, well, not 3 months ago. Like, he's produced Max Aarons, Jamal Lewis, played a big part in his development. Todd Cantwell as well, who's another young player of theirs. He's a Norwich lad, played for Norwich under Lambert, was part of those squads that beat Ipswich 4 and 5-1. It's going to be very, very strange for him.
I've got to pick, on the subject of Matt Gill, there is something in Lambert's press conference that I need to pick up.
I know
what
you're going to say, yeah.
So I asked Paul whether Matt Gill could give a bit of inside information, given that Norwich have been so entwined with the Leeds Spygate. Paul Lambert claims that Matt Gill invented the word Spygate.
Matt in the room as well?
Yeah, Matt was sat at the back of the press conference. I don't think Matt Gill invented the word Spygate.
That existed before that. 3 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fairly confident of that too. Brian Wren.
Friend of the show, yes.
Yes, friend of the show.
I'm working on my list. It's not very long at the moment.
We're going to do five, aren't we? The first official friend
of the
show.
Yeah, well, I'm not struggling to get to five.
Really?
Well, yeah, well, because friend of the show, sure. Got lots of wonder. We cherish all of our listeners.
Yeah,
we're very grateful for all the questions that they send in. But I feel friend of the show certainly needs to have left a review. And
absolutely.
I know Brian has.
Yeah.
And
oh, he has, though.
He has.
He has.
So he's on the list.
Yeah.
Obviously, our man D-Jax is on the list.
Yeah.
You need to do something more than just send in questions. I want more from you to make this list. It's a big list.
It's the Hall of Fame, essentially.
It is.
Like what? What do you want?
I don't know. Just
to get involved, basically.
Something.
Yeah.
Give me something.
It's a special status we're going to convey. The first five members of essentially our Hall of Fame. Anyway, Mr. Wren, who's a contender for said list, says, when will we meet again in a league match? My best memories of Carrow Road have been when we score three. So that's my prediction. How many they score, I don't know.
When did they last score three at Carrow Road?
Don't know.
Too
we
long,
still have
maybe.
Most wins, and we've still got the biggest margin of victory, so let's keep that record at best. So when do you reckon?
It looks like
this might be the last
game.
When
will they play again
in the same
league?
Is he trying to just try and avoid losing more than 5-0? Is that...?
Basically, yeah. Essentially, we've still got the biggest margin of victory,
lofty
so let's keep
expectations.
That record at best. But that is kind of the way people are feeling, isn't it? I mean, in terms of when they're going to meet again in the league match, it looks like it's going to be the last one at least for a season, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. One way or another.
At least 1 year.
Yeah.
Can we try not to talk about the Chequered Trade Trophy today? And the potential.
Oh, God.
Let's
save that, shall we? Because that would be horrific.
Yeah. Norwich City under 23s versus Ipswich Town first team.
Yeah.
Chequered Trade Trophy.
That could actually happen.
That's just wrong. That would be horrible. But anyway.
So, Brian, we don't really know. Obviously, it's going to be more than a year, more than a season, potentially.
I'm still not convinced Norwich will go up this year.
No.
I'm more convinced about Ipswich going down than Norwich going up. I mean, their result last weekend at Leeds was huge. And that's when you start to believe it's your year and all the late goals and everything seems to be going their way. But there's other teams up there. And if they don't make it this year, then the parachute pay... You know, this is year one without parachute payments. And last year they had your Madison money and all of that. But you wouldn't have that this time around, and
no, that'll be another. There's talk of Max Aarons has been linked with all the big Premier League clubs, so that'd be another one that had to go. Because Norwich, look, they've had the parachute money, but they've not been getting. They don't get bankrolled by owners in terms of the ownership at Norwich. Delia, her husband, and the other shareholders there. In terms of owner input, Norwich are right down there. What they've done is incredibly impressive, and Lambert's a massive part of that. But it does mean that young players, good players, are on the block.
They would have to become that selling club like Ipswich have had to become under Marcus Evans, because for all the talk about Evans' level of investment, it's a lot less north of the border. It's all been sort of self-sustainable, and that there could be a limit to that. So, you know, in many ways, getting promotion this year would kind of get them out of danger. So if they don't go up and Ipswich go down, then, you know, it might be sooner rather than later, because, you know, I'm sure they thought that Ipswich were probably saying, "Oh, we're never going to play you again." That was a chant at the time, and then the irony was, You know,
they beat them 9-2 over
the
two
other
games
way around. So things can change very, very quickly in football. History teaches us that.
Wouldn't it be lovely if Town did win on Sunday and that proves to be the catalyst for both Town to stay up and Norwich to completely capitulate and tumble down the league?
Yep. As unlikely as that sounds, that is why we all love football.
Exactly. It could happen. It could happen. Harvey Davis, is it time to revisit 3-5-2 again?
Harvey said that last week's podcast was his favourite one that he's ever listened to of ours.
He didn't think we were boring.
Which one was that?
The one that just had me and Stu on.
Oh, is that right? Well, yeah. Harvey, you don't know what we're talking about. So, 3-5-2, what we're saying?
No.
Okay, good.
I don't think you've got good enough wing-backs. As much as it would give you a bit of steel through the middle, extra bodies, you need good wide players, and I'm not sure Ipswich have got players
Harvey
for that
lives long. In Wales.
Does he?
Yep. A Welsh outpost.
A man in Wales.
Yeah.
I like Wales. Adrian Hawes, what did you make of how Lambert handled the press conference this week? I thought he was in brilliant form and actually made me feel good to be a Town fan heading into the derby, which takes some doing, although it'll probably dissipate once the game starts.
Well, that's a good point. He's making people feel good about themselves, and it struck me looking at it that this game is almost a year to the day since Ipswich went to Carrow Road last February. And when you had Mick McCarthy, and Andy's doing the gesture now, doing the up yours gesture, which he says he didn't tell his own fans to F off, but the footage suggests otherwise. I love watching that back. He actually shoves, is it Joe Garner out the
Joe
way?
Garner gets, someone over, Joe Garner gets properly
he literally shoves Joe Garner out the way to go away from the celebrations back towards his own fans. And I'm no lip reading expert, but it's pretty clear what, and you know, and that kind of summed up how that relationship had reached its end. We don't need to go back through how we'd reached that point, but in many ways Paul Lambert has been the complete antithesis of Mick in terms of talking about we, us and Ipswich Town Football Club and how important you the fans are, and you know, they'll be singing his name with gusto, and it just goes to prove that that's really all the Ipswich Town fans have been crying out for, somebody that kind of got them and spoke, you know, the way he's talking about setting up, you know, we'll go there and give it a go, and there's a way to lose a game, and I'd rather go there and give it a go and lose and not having any regrets. And it's, you know, it's the complete opposite of Mick's sort of ultra pragmatism that people had grown a little tired of.
Have you seen all these letters that have been going out this week, by the way?
No.
Chambers and such.
Then some other ones as well. Marcus Evans has sent out a few hundred letters to fans that have been season ticket holders and the regular away fans as well, and offering free hospitality at a game of their choice between now and the end of the season to thank them for their support.
Wow, hearts and minds.
And I think Paul Lambert has had a big part to play in that as well.
Yeah. Jeremy Bowling, a low scoring draw I think is a good bet. Norwich may well have an adrenaline dump after winning at Leeds, and so often teams cannot lift themselves and games are expected to win. That won't mean, of course, that Town have cracked it though. Low scoring draw?
I take the point on board about it's hard to get yourself going again, you know, after the Lord Mayor show.
Yep.
But it's a derby game, though.
Yeah.
Craig, will we see Lambert change formation and play with two up top? And will he bring Knudsen back simply because he scored against the scum?
Jonas Knudsen.
He's not going to talk about
it. Jonas Knudsen calls Norwich the squum.
The squum.
Squum. Yeah.
Should he bring that Jonas back, though? I mean, he is the best left-back probably still at the club, isn't he? He's not going to.
Should he and will he is probably a different conversation. I think Andy and I both feel that,
in terms of pure football, yes. I can see why it would be very difficult to actually square that off in your mind to do, though. Especially after some of the things that he said publicly about it. But football-wise, would I be more confident of Buendia and Aaron's running forward at Kenlock or Knudsen? Knudsen. Pure football decision.
Yeah, I agree. He's the best left back in the club. I know people will go, what are you on about? He's useless. And Kenlock and Elder have both, I don't think either of them have kind of shown that they're a cut above him. Whatever you say about Knudsen, he's an experienced championship player. He's an international player. Are they cutting their noses off to spite their face by not involving him? Unless he said something horrendous behind the scenes, which I don't think has been the case. I think he's just been honest about his future. Lambert's logic is, well, he's not going to be here next season, so why play him now? You could probably say that about half this team, to be honest.
And how about a two up top thing? Any chance of him?
I don't think he'll play two up top as such, but I think Stu's spoken about on some video that we've done just a minute ago that will be out at some point.
Yeah.
About going back to a 4-2-3-1, which kind of pairs Keane and Quaynor in the same team. That's not impossible. I'd be surprised if he went with actually two up top. If that makes sense.
Yeah, Lambert's talked about going for it and attack the best form of defence. I'd like to see Keane just off of Quaynor again. I think Keane has looked best in the number 10 link-up role. Not convinced by Quaynor as the striker, but he's probably their best option, although we're both big fans of Ellis Harrison. Quaynor on the right would be another option if you want it to stay 4-3-3 and have Keane and Quaynor in there.
Judge has been starting on the right, hasn't he? With obviously Sears, they've swapped on occasions, but I worry a little bit. As much as you want Judge in the team for the creativity and certainly for the set pieces, I worry the protection for the fullback from Judge isn't there, because he's drifting inside and he's not a defensive player, he's an attacking player very much, and that worries me a little bit. You'd want him in the pit on the pitch though somewhere, wouldn't you?
Agreed.
Matt Thomas, not strictly about the derby, but I'll allow it because me and Matt talk about boxing and stuff.
Is that I Am Spartacus?
That's I Am Spartacus, yeah. Four-star review. Four-star review on iTunes, Matt. Got beef with you about that.
Well, you're not a friend of the show, are you?
No. Chaps, at what stage, if you agree, do we just start playing players that were with us next season? If we're relegated, then surely it's prudent to give kids time on the pitch. Not this weekend, obviously.
No.
It's difficult to get an entire team out that's guaranteed to be in the season at the moment.
Oh, when do you do that?
When you're officially relegated? Or?
I think some common sense would suggest maybe a little bit before it's mathematically done. I think we'll know by the end of next week, if we don't already, exactly what the rest of the season is going to be like. Three games between now and next Saturday. Ipswich, Norwich, Derby, Stoke. And it'll be very, very clear what the next 2 months, the 2 months after that will be.
Some big decisions to make, like, you know, do I think Shalabar is going to be more effective for us than Downs today? Yes. But do I think Downs is going to benefit more in the long run from game time? Yes. They're the sort of decisions that Lambert's going to
face. You'll soon see what chance Lambert thinks there is of the loanees staying on for next season as well, because if you think you've got a chance of signing Elder, great. If not, then it's got to be, from that point, it's got to be Kenlock all day long, isn't it?
Yep.
I'm just saying, while we're answering questions, I did enjoy Andy's big question on the podcast earlier this week. Who would you take out? Which town player would you take out? Obviously, if you're asking me, if I was here, it'd be Aaron Dryden, wouldn't it?
Where would you go with Aaron?
McDonald's, Nando's, something like that.
I've actually seen Aaron Dryden in Nando's a couple of times.
He's kind
of
stuff. The boy Dryden.
Yeah.
Don't make me say that phrase. He's in the Ireland under 21 squad.
There he goes.
Are you going to go over?
Training with quality. Them,
you going so over for that?
I should do. He should definitely give us an interview. So that would be my answer anyway. Don Fennell, if you were to buy a John Banks Honda and only allowed one optional extra, which would you choose? Heated seats, heated windscreen, or parking sensors? Don, you are, of course, talking about our esteemed sponsor, johnbanks.co.uk. Look out for the next John Banks ride and drive events coming soon near you, johnbanks.co.uk. Yep. So what would you take? The options, heated seats, heated windscreen, or parking sensors?
Heated windscreen. I've not had that. That's the only one I've not had an experience.
I'd definitely go heated seats. Let me tell you, they're my favourite part of my car this time of year. When it's cold and I'm driving long distances, one needs to warm the posterior.
Seats, windscreen,
parking.
Or parking sensors.
Parking sensors or a camera.
Well, whatever. I guess I've become
accustomed to a rear-facing parking camera.
You've got a rear-facing parking camera, have you?
Yeah.
Someone's doing well.
Whipping. What are you driving?
Toyota Yaris.
You've got a rear-facing parking camera, isn't that?
Yeah, do you want to see it?
Yeah.
I'll show you. It's good.
Yeah?
It is good.
Do you get people to stand behind it and sort of wave and that kind of thing? That's what I do with a parking camera.
Yes. Yeah. I, to my shame, I think I require it. I've become too reliant on it.
Seats all day long. It's got
absolutely
to be.
Absolutely.
If you've got ice on your windscreen,
Just get it off.
Manually. If you can't park, that's your problem.
At my house, when I know there's going to be ice, I make sure I park with the car facing in, up the hill, because then the sun in the morning will melt it for me.
Good thinking.
That's just sensible.
Good thinking. Yeah, you're responsible human beings. Yeah. And fathers both.
Yeah.
The pin. Our friend the pin has asked three questions, and I like them all. We'll zip through them. Can I sponsor Andy's saliva gland for 25p? Now that you're asking for backers for body parts,
make it £25, and you can. Yes.
How do you sponsor the gland? Like,
bang, little tattoo on the old face there, isn't it?
That's on the outside. Yeah.
How is your fat face?
Yeah, completely deflated.
It's all good. I'm really gutted that I missed that. That would have been.
Yeah, it was right in your wheelhouse. That. No, it's fine now.
How fat did your face actually get?
It's quite fat, wasn't it?
It's like the Elephant Man.
Was it? Ouch.
I think he would beg to differ. Yeah. But our situations were. Yeah. I was on the way to that.
Yeah, on the way to John Merrick. The pin. Is there hostility towards our friends up the road in the press room on Derby Day 2? Obviously not. We're all great mates.
Stu chinned one of them last year.
Because this will get out as a rumour now.
No, he didn't.
He did not.
No, literally seconds after that 95th minute goal, We better stop talking about this. No, that didn't happen. No.
Yeah.
They're good guys.
And finally, because I know Stu's got a good answer to this, I remember it from social media back in the day. Given that Ipswich's dressing room will be pink, what is your greatest DIY disaster? I remember something you put on Facebook about trying to put up a new screen in the shower, was it, or something?
Yeah, I'm not good at DIY. I thought this would be like a 2-second job, just change the glass shower screen, you know, like one of the little mm-hmm. part ones. Thought it would just be a case of screw the old one off. I'd bought the new one, screw it in, 2 screws, job done. But the previous owner of the house had glued the hinge or the joint that it sits in was glued to the wall. So I was like, okay, I'll just get a little chisel and sort of manoeuvre that off. But doing that literally brought down all of the tiles.
Yeah. It was a great picture. It was really good. Yeah.
Well done, Stu. Yeah.
I have now got just one of those telescopic... I managed to fix the tiles.
Yeah.
Bought the little tile clippers, everything, because I couldn't get the right sizes, grouted all of that. But I couldn't bring myself to then... drill into the tiles because that looks like it's got disaster written all over it.
Time, yeah.
So just got one of those telescopic
shower curtains.
And then shower curtains are horrible. Oh, they like stick to you. Yeah, that's the worst thing.
That's absolutely horrible. My wife used to do that for a laugh when I was in the shower.
Or just push it onto
you. Because I hated it.
Yeah.
Does it all the time. Hachi, can you compete with DIY disaster?
I don't know if I can compete with it. I certainly have. It's more a painting issue, this one. When Vicky and I, my wife, when we lived in Birmingham, we thought we'd paint our rented property. And we painted it red. It was very...
When you say you painted the property red?
The inside. The living room.
Red.
Okay. It was too red.
That sounds intense.
Right. It was like we were inside a volcano. It was really bad.
That's interesting, because we've got the red room in our house, which is like the TV/ memorabilia room.
The red room.
And that I love that room.
That sounds quite sexy.
Kind of soothing maroon. It's nice.
Yeah, this wasn't red. Yeah. This wasn't. The angry man, Brian Wren, if you put him in there, goodness, it'd combust. Trouble. It was like living in a volcano. It was horrible.
I bet your landlord was well pleased. Great.
Yeah. I hope you got permission.
We got permission to paint it. I don't think we'd cleared the red. We did sort it out before we left.
DIY,
very bad.
DIY for me, I don't do DIY because I'm wise enough to know. I mean, I do basic DIY. I drill stuff to put pictures up and curtain rails and all that sort of stuff. But anything big, decoration of the hall, we're having 2 new doors fitted today. I ain't doing that. If there's someone who can do it better than me and I can pay them to do it, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm wise enough to know.
We're there now.
Yeah.
I did build a shed base and build a shed on it.
Oh, yeah, that was impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Used your little fire pit at the old house?
Had our fire pit.
Have you still got the fire pit?
No, sad that we left that for the new people at our old house. But yeah, that was proper. That
burning
was.
Stuff.
Yeah, just flames everywhere.
It's alive. Yeah. It's alive. And then finally, question wise, which is the last bit on our Derby Day preview, Alf S simply says predictions. Sadly, we will be twatted. Let's see how you say that in the podcast. Well, I've just said it, Alf. That's what you reckon.
Just said it out loud.
Prediction then, boys. This is an uncomfortable elephant in the room. Is anyone brave enough to make a prediction?
We've just done this on a video, haven't we? So I'm going to stick with what I said, which was Norwich City 2, Ipswich Town 0, and a bit mixed feelings kind of come away from it thinking...
Could have been worse.
Could have been worse, but also I don't know how much Ipswich were actually in that game. That's my fear.
I'll be marginally more optimistic and give Ipswich Town a goal because I don't think...
When's the goal coming, though? That's how this narrative... That's how the excitement comes. When's the goal, Stu?
The goal will be an equaliser.
Will it?
And they'll lose 2-1.
Oh, 2-1.
I'm going to say 1-0 to Norwich because I can't, like you...
You normally predict 5-6 nil Ipswich wins.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? I owe it to the listeners to give a serious prediction today.
Mate, it was ridiculous last week as well.
I know.
In the battle with mid-table Sheffield Wednesday.
What did I say?
5-0.
Well, it could have been. I'm going to say 1-0 to Norwich because, again, I like both of you, apart from Stu, I can't really see Town scoring, sadly. So that brings us to the end of the Derby Day preview, brought to you in association with johnbanks.co.uk. Chaps, is there anything else to talk about before we head off?
Yes.
What?
We need to talk about another Paul Lambert comment from the press conference.
Okay.
He said, it doesn't matter where you play a derby. Derbies are brilliant wherever you play, even if you played them on the moon. We ended up having quite a long conversation about if Ipswich played Norwich on the moon. Yeah. What it would be like and who would it favour.
Yeah.
And I just want to explore that,
well, first
that
of all,
notion
said,
a little bit more.
What time would it kick off? And I'd say that it didn't matter.
What's the time difference to the moon?
Good
no
point.
Idea.
You've got to think about TV companies here, haven't you?
Someone in Asia. The world will be watching.
It would obviously be live on Sky.
First of all, you poo-pooed the notion that Ipswich Norwich would be the first game picked for this... momentous moment in history.
Yeah,
and Andy described it as a soft launch.
Yeah,
it'd be the, sort of a the little practice before they got onto the serious stuff.
I can see that actually, because then before we have like a
put the old firm
El Clasico or something like that, have that on the moon, get a de-sanguine derby, just a little soft launch.
Yeah, because there's a chance that it's not going to be as safe as they would like. There may be some
things
deaths.
Things could go horribly wrong.
Yeah. You know the policing that's such an issue for...
That would sort it out, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. So if Suffolk Police, you wouldn't have to deal with it anymore. They wouldn't have to kick off at... They'd probably still play it at 12 o'clock on a Sunday. Just to take the mic.
Would you need floodlights?
Are fans going up?
No. Fans, probably not for the first
extremely
one.
Extremely wealthy fans.
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Yeah, floodlights.
I don't think so, no, because...
It's dark on the moon, though,
it's not dark on the moon. It's dark on one side of the moon.
No. It's dark. Let's call the dark side of the moon, because that's the side we can't see.
Yeah.
So are you playing it there?
Yeah, no, you're going to play it on the side that's illuminated by the sun, surely.
Okay, so it's not dark on the moon. So
We can see the moon from the Earth, because the sun's shining on it.
So you don't need floodlights. Okay, fair enough. So
it's 12 o'clock on a Sunday, you don't need floodlights.
Yeah. Also... In terms of kit, obviously the players are going to be kitted out in full moonwalk gear.
Yeah,
and we're
space suits.
Do they need studs?
Blades.
They also need something severely weighted to keep them on the moon's surface.
Yeah.
And the ball.
And the ball has to be basically
made
of iron.
The ball's gone.
How high? The goals could be like elevated. They could be really high.
Like Quidditch.
Yeah, just like Quidditch, yeah.
Just like it.
Ipswich might stand a chance, actually, if we can sort this out in time for Sunday.
Yeah.
I think you'd change your team selection for a game like that. I think Toto would be in my starting lineup for a moon game.
Why?
Dominance. Physical dominance.
Yeah.
I'd worry about Gwion Edwards.
Yes.
On the moon.
Just drift off.
Just fly off.
Oh, no. And that's why this is a soft launch.
Exactly, that's a soft launch for Gwion Edwards.
Yeah. It would be good, though.
Yeah.
Headers would be interesting.
Would it be high scoring?
I don't think it would be a great spectacle thinking about it.
No.
Lots of floating around.
Yeah. How would they train for it?
High altitude.
They'd have to go in those planes, wouldn't they? You know, when you do them in films where they can go zero gravity for like a minute because they fly at a certain altitude and speed. So when you see those things in films, that's how it's done. They actually go up. So they'd have to do that repeatedly. That's the way it'd be done.
Yeah.
Or find some kind of zero gravity situation here on Earth, which I'm not sure exists.
Yeah, they have like chambers, don't they, where they like vacuum all the
They could go over to NASA and
they vacuum all the air out.
They do. If I mess up, you can do zero gravity on Earth.
That just make it a murderous place if you vacuum all the air out. Just go in there.
Because essentially that's it, isn't it? There's no air, and that's why you've got a spacesuit on to give you the air.
How do the astronauts train for it?
They have the big zero G.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Just practicing that.
Whirly gig things, don't they?
Would they bring that to Playford Road, or would Ipswich have, and Norwich have to decamp to NASA for quite some time to? Some of those players aren't going to cope with that very well, I don't think.
I love this. I love the idea of a game on the moon.
Would we both go and cover it?
Well, obviously.
Can we get that for expensive?
What's Wi-Fi like on the moon as well? In terms of getting the report back and doing some video.
Our little verdict at the end in our little space helmets.
Little helmets on. Fantastic. I would love that to happen. So, game on the moon, done. Any other business before we sign off and go to a Facebook Live?
No other business.
No other business. So,
no other business.
The day, the hour nears. Hopefully, cometh the hour, cometh the man or men. And hopefully Norwich are put to the sword in fine style on Sunday at Carrow Road. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please do subscribe via your various podcast providers. Get this stuff coming into your phone. Normally we do one on a Monday. And obviously we do extras as well, of which this has been one. Please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes to help our visibility. Stu personally gives out prizes for all 5-star reviews. All that leaves me to say is thank you very much for your time. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks to our sponsor, johnbanks.co.uk, from cars to motorcycles, johnbanks.co.uk. I've been Mark Heath. With me has been Stuart Watson.
Goodbye.
And Andy Warren.
Goodbye.
And we'll see you again next week when Town hopefully have broken that very long derby curse. If they haven't, boys, Monday's podcast is going to be difficult to rouse ourselves and get fired up.
I really. Let's cross that bridge when we come to it.
I might have to bring in the PVC. We'll see you again next week.